So good morning. Welcome to Engage Church. My name is Pastor Mike. First and foremost, I want to say that I am thrilled that you are here with us today. I'm glad that you decided to join us for church. Today we dive into a new series, and a series that I'm incredibly excited about. In fact, I talked about this series back in, I think, November with Deb and Dave. We were kind of having just conversation about things coming in the church, and I said, hey, we've got some teaching on the altar coming up. And it's really cool how everything just works together. I'll get to that in a minute. But we're starting today, Altar Encounters, Drawing Near to God. This series, we're going to focus, we're going to seek to understand the significance of the altar, how we should approach the altar, and how we can embrace the altar in our everyday lives. As we read through our Bible reading plan, if you've joined us in that, if not, there's papers on the table in the back in the foyer. We're going through a daily Bible reading plan as a church. It's a year chronological Bible reading plan. And as we have been reading the past couple of weeks, what are we reading about? We're reading about the tabernacle and the expectations of the priest and the sacrifices and the altar ministry and the whole the way everything goes. And so we've read about the altar so many times so far, and we're just about done with the book of Leviticus, and we're going to see it several more times. What an appropriate time to launch the series on the altar. Not planned by me. The altar, but not coinciding with our Bible reading plan. So first we have to start by defining what the altar is. An altar is a structure upon which offerings such as sacrifices are made. An altar always represented a place of consecration. What is consecration? Being made sacred. What is sacred? Holy. So an altar is always represents a place of holiness, of being holy. Before God gave his law to Moses, men made altars wherever they were out of whatever material was available. And generally, they built that altar to commemorate an encounter with God that profoundly impacted them. So when God met them, the general response that we see in Scripture is they built an altar. Think about Abram, Isaac, Jacob, David, Gideon. All of these men in the Old Testament, they built altars and they worshiped after a unique encounter with God. An altar usually represents a desire, a person's desire to make himself holy, to consecrate himself before the Lord. Sometimes even God commanded that an altar be built after he miraculously delivered someone. Such an altar would be a memorial. It would be a place of remembrance to help future generations remember the mighty works of the Lord. In Joshua, in the book of Joshua, I'm going completely off notes here, but in the book of Joshua, they built an altar. Why did they build an altar right next to the river? To remind the future generations that the people on the other side were still part of God's people, and they were still living in God's promised land, to not go to war with them. So it was a place of remembrance. So as we have read over the past couple of weeks, Joel just alluded to it when God prescribed in Exodus 35 about work that needed to be done, all the rings for the curtains and everything. Where did all that gold come from, first and foremost? It came from the Egyptians. When they were leaving Egypt, the women and men gave Israel everything they had just to get rid of them. So then the Lord calls for, hey, we need stuff. They're in the middle of the desert. It's not like they're finding new gold and all of this when they're in the desert. But God gave instructions for the tabernacle, how it was to be built. He gave detailed instructions for the kind of altar that it should contain. And the people brought to it, the people gave to it, and they made the tabernacle. And on this altar that they built, prescribed by God, the people made sacrifices to God that he accepted as atonement for their sin, their shame, and their guilt. In the Old Testament, an altar was central to worshiping God, a memorial of what he had done in their lives. It meant communion with God. It was also for offering sacrifices for atonement for their sin. Did you know that there is a change between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where we went from physical altars to spiritual altars, altars of our heart? And it all changed. Do you know when it all changed? When Jesus died and rose again on the cross. If you would this morning, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. And I hope you have your Bible with you. If not, I hope your neighbor's friendly enough to let you look on their Bible with them. If you don't have one, I have it on the overhead. As you find yourself into Hebrews chapter 9, I want you to keep it open in Hebrews chapter 9, because, and then you're gonna flip over to Hebrews chapter 13, because we're going to read a little bit from Hebrews chapter 13 as well. I am reading from the English Standard Version, so my version might not quite match what your version says. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, it says this: "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." Verse 13, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now that's a mouthful. That's hard to understand. But if you're reading through a five-day Bible reading plan, they had a sacrifice for every scenario that they could possibly have. And if you can't afford a goat, then you should bring two turtle doves. And it's this and how we do it and where and when and all of this. Jesus fulfilled that once and for all. Thank you, David. Amen. Our church would be a mess if we still had sacrifices today. You know that, David. Jesus' sacrifice fulfilled the Old Testament law. Here's what it did. He became our justification. What is justification? Justification is the action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. Why did they have sacrifices? Because they needed to be made right in the sight of God. Jesus completely fulfilled that. So no longer was the sacrifice of animals necessary in worship and communion and memorial or an atonement of sins, because Jesus paid it all. Jesus spent his ministry focusing and teaching on the inward transformation of a person's heart. He focused on the person's heart and the response. Is what he was doing, he was preparing them for a day when it wouldn't be about where worship took place, and it wouldn't be about the ritual surrounding the altar, but rather about the condition of one's heart. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 10 through 15. I'm sorry for the lengthy scriptures this morning, but if Scripture can say it better than I do, then I let Scripture say it. Verses 10 through 15. "We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat." Now, first and foremost, this is talking about those who are still serving the Old Testament, those who believe that there was still the need for sacrifices to happen. So we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. "For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood." Verse 13, Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. The altar symbolizes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, they had to do that to be made right, to be consecrated, to be holy before God, to approach. And the priest could only do certain things at certain times. Listen, the blood of Christ, when it was spilled, it fulfilled the demand that the Old Testament had, that the old law had. No longer do we have sacrifices because Jesus' sacrifice paid it all. And that's what allows us to be justified before God today. Understand, it has nothing to do with your work. You cannot work hard enough to be justified before God. That was a place to say amen. You cannot work your way into heaven. Never going to happen. So if you came here thinking, if I just go to church, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to go to heaven, sorry. It is justification through Jesus Christ. It is accepting him as Lord and Savior that justifies us. The system of rituals and works is now behind us. It's now purely about the condition of our hearts. Upon believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, which comes into our lives, and it starts to work on our hearts. In that, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. I have it on the screen. It says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we get to worship God anytime, anywhere. We get to remember what God has done in our lives. We don't have to build an altar to remember that time that God did this for us. But now it's written on our hearts. We can remember what God has done for us. The sins that Jesus saved us from, they're gone. And we can have daily communion with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And the sacrifice of Jesus' body means that we have been sanctified. We have been made holy once and for all. Therefore, what we put into our lives, into our bodies, into our minds, into our hearts, guess what? It matters. It matters. How did Aaron and his sons have to approach the altar? If you're reading through our 5-day Bible reading plan, you will see God was very strict on how they had to approach the altar, how they had to prepare themselves, what clothes they had to wear, when they had to bathe their bodies. They had very strict rules. They had to wear the certain clothes. They had to be consecrated, lest they incur guilt and die. Now, if you're following our Bible reading plan, you will have read on Thursday how two of Aaron's sons died by fire because they approached the altar and offered unauthorized fire on the altar. The Bible tells us that the fire came out and consumed them. So what does this tell us? It tells us that how we approach the altar matters. How we approach the altar matters. Now, there are two separate altar-related things that I want to point out here. We call these steps an altar. If you've been here for any amount of time, we say this is the altar. These benches up here, we say this general area up here is the altar. Are they biblically an altar? No, they're not. But it is a place for us to approach to be consecrated. It is a place for us to approach to have communion with the Lord. It is a place for us to humble ourselves to come before the Lord. If you've been here for any amount of time, you know that at the end of every message, what do? I offer salvation, for anybody who feels like the Lord's tugging on their heart to be in relationship with Him. The second thing I do is I always give an altar call. There's a couple of reasons for that. The first and probably the most important is because it gives us time to respond to the Lord. If you just hear the message and you run out of here, oh yeah, it was good service today, he did a good job, or oh, he did a terrible job today, I didn't like how loud he was speaking, or I didn't like the context of his message, or if you just leave right after the message, have you had time to respond to the Lord? Now, I'm not condemning you. If you got to go, you got to go. I get that. I appreciate that. But the idea behind it is it gives us time to respond to the Lord. It forces us. The same way we talk about when we get ready to take communion. What do? We look inward and we said, Lord, is there anything in our life that needs to be dealt with before we take this communion? So the altars, it causes us to check our hearts. And here's probably the most important. To approach the altar with humility. Who are we walking before? It's not me. We're coming before God. Also, coming to the altar helps us to seek God above our own desires. It also causes us to submit ourselves to His will. Here's the second reason why I always call for altar calls. My life has been dramatically and forever changed because of the ministry of the altar. And I know that there's others in here that would say the same thing. These steps up here, they mean nothing. You know what this is? This is a step. Okay? These are steps. My feet are on them. Sometimes you put your face there. I know that's gross. I shouldn't have made that connection. But listen, there's steps. It's not an altar, is it? But it's the idea of approaching the altar, coming before the Lord. The steps mean nothing. Here's what it's about. It's about the heart. How are we approaching the altar? There's something about the approach, the walk up here, the humility that it requires us to put on in our approach. Why? Do we come up here all happy-go-lucky, lackadaisical, we don't care? No, because we're approaching God Almighty. So it requires us to have an approach because we're approaching a holy God. Why was God so strict in the Old Testament about what they had to do to be able to approach the altar? Because He's a holy God. By nature, are we holy? No, we're not. We are coming before God Almighty. Here's the last thing that it does. It requires us to deal with sin. It requires us to address sin in our life. Now here's what I'm going to do. I encourage you, I implore you to come to the altar every week. Well, Mike, I don't feel like I need to. Listen, that's fine. Do it anyways. I encourage you to even do it during worship. There is something about the ministry of the altar that will change your life if your approach is full of humility and being right before God, that if we approach and seek Him, we will find Him. And if we go back to the song that Stacy led us in, and the more we find Him, the more we what? The more we love Him. He gave His life for who? Me, you, all the dirty sinners of the world. I think we can give a little bit of love. I think it's okay to come to the altar. If you want to experience God, I'm not saying you can't experience God. You can experience Him anywhere. It is beyond this church building. Trust me when I say that, and I understand that. However, I know there's something to it. If you want to seek God, if you want to experience God, you want to see Him move in your life, you want to see Him change your life, try spending some time at the altar. Try spending some time bowed before Him in humility, seeking Him. Him alone. beyond the church. We're moving past the church now, outside the church, having an altar. We have the altar of our hearts. I alluded to the altar of our hearts a couple minutes ago. Every believer, now if you're not a believer in here this morning, that is perfectly fine. You'll have an opportunity to do so here in a minute. But every believer's heart has an invisible altar where the war between the flesh and the spirit rages. Do we naturally overcome sin on our own? When we become Christians, are we still tempted by sin? That is the flesh waging war against the spirit. Keep in mind that we are a selfish and a sinful people. We do not desire to do right of our own ambition. Daily, we have to surrender areas of our life to the control of the Holy Spirit. We have to give of ourselves to the Holy Spirit every single day. When we do so, when we do this, we are in effect laying that area on the altar before God. It could be our attitudes, it could be our addictions, our desires, our opinions, our finances, and even our will. As believers, we should be striving daily to be more like Jesus. When we become more like Jesus, what do? We tell people about Jesus. And if we look more like Jesus, more people are going to say, I want Jesus. So as we seek the Lord, we need to ask the Lord what areas of our lives that He is requiring us to offer up to Him. If we're serious about this, we have to be willing to give up what He asks of us. It could be that He wants us to give up using nicotine. He did that to me. It could be that He wants us to give up alcohol. He did that to me. It could be that He wants us to give up foul language. He did that to me. We can respond to Him saying, hey, you need to be done with this. You need to let this go. You need to quit touching and playing with this. You need to stop finding yourself in this situation where you do this. Because this is not helping you. This is hurting you. We can respond by symbolically laying that on the altar and letting go. We do not need a physical altar like they did in the Old Testament to do so. We can literally surrender our lives to God on the altar of our hearts at any time. Because it's about what? Heart condition. Now, if God's telling you this morning, hey, you need to stop the alcohol, and you got it out in your vehicle, I would encourage you to bring it to the altar and give it to Him today. Same with nicotine. If you're smoking, chewing, whatever it is, not me, I'm not telling you to do this. If God is telling you to do this, bring it to the altar. Give it to Him. Take it beyond symbolically and come lay it at the altar and be done. Because by surrendering our life to God, by allowing Him to mold us and get rid of this thing, these things in our life, we are being made holy. We are becoming more like the image of Christ. We are becoming righteous. We must make it a practice to come to the altar in communion with Christ daily, both spiritually and physically. What does it look like spiritually? Get in the Bible. Listen, if you're not reading your Bible, grab our Bible reading plan and join us. That's a good place to start, to get in the practice of opening God's Word and consuming it. It means being in prayer. It means turning on worship music and just sitting silent before Him and asking Him to reveal Himself and to speak to you. It is about communion with Him daily. Now, if we refuse to give of ourselves, if He says, hey, you need to give this up, I need you, Mike, to release this and quit dinking around with this because it's not good for you. If I say, you know what, Lord, I can handle this. I'm good. I don't need to worry about this. Guess what? You're missing out on what Jesus has for you. I promise what He has for you is better than what you could ever dream is better for you. You cannot get yourself to eternity. He can. It is so much more. Now, it doesn't diminish this, but it's so much more than forgiveness of sins. It's not just a one-time experience with Him where our sins are forgiven, now I can go back to my life and I know that His blood forever covers me. That's one, not how it works. Two, He wants us to transform. He wants to make us into a new creation. He wants to make us into His image. And through being an image bearer of Christ, turn and introduce others to the freedom and forgiveness that they too can experience through Jesus. Does anybody know what that is? That is the Great Commission. To go and do what? To make disciples. We must come to the altar daily. Stacy, if you want to come on up. We must come to the altar daily to effectively carry out engaging our community for Jesus. This is our mission of our church, is to engage our community. But how can we impact our communities, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, people, students at the school, if we ourselves have avoided communion with God, worship to God, remembrance of what He's brought us out of, or even avoided the forgiveness of our sins? How can we bring others to Christ if we are not first saturated in this in Christ? To minister to others, to make disciples, we must first allow Jesus to minister to us. That happens at the altar. Whether spiritually or physically, it happens at the altar. It is having this approach of humility. We serve a holy God. We serve a God that saw it fit to send His Son Jesus to fulfill the law once and for all, to make us righteous before Him. We walk in a freedom today that the Old Testament folks could dream of. So my question to you this morning, two questions. How will you approach the altar? Second is, will you daily commit to approaching the altar? If you would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I told you this was coming. If you're not a believer in Jesus, I wanted to give you an opportunity to do so. Just as the priest in the Old Testament had to be cleaned, they had to be consecrated, we too. We must be cleaned. We must be forgiven of our sin. We can be cleaned. We can be consecrated through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Forever, forever being cleansed of our sin and our guilt and our shame, because we will be covered by His blood. We will forever be consecrated. Where we can boldly and confidently approach the throne of God. 1 John 2, verse 2 says, He Himself, Jesus, is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Ephesians 1, 7, it says, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. There's an offer on the table this morning. It's an offer to step into a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And if you've never done that this morning, if you've never said, Lord, I need to be forgiven of my sins, and I realize that it's not just about this forgiveness, but it's about the life You have for me from here on out. I want to proclaim You as Lord and Savior in my life. If that's you and you want to do that, if you wish to do so this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you raise your hand in response this morning? So here's how we're going to close today. Worship team's going to play some songs for us today. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us have a decision to make today. How will we respond to the message? I'm going to encourage you to come to the altar. On your way up, check your heart. Approach the altar in humility. Seek God. You're not coming up here because your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your friend or your spouse, or you're not coming up here because they are. You're coming up here to be in front of God Almighty. We're here to seek God above our own desires, and we're here to submit ourselves to His will. Think of it this way. Not just anybody in the Old Testament could approach the Holy of Holies. Only the priest. And at certain times, only the priest could. Today, here's what you get to do. You get to approach the Holy Lord. Because you have been blood-bought by Jesus. Whether you come up here in prayer or you come up here to worship, I encourage each and every one of us this morning to humble ourselves, approach the altar, and wait upon the Lord. Amen?